Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
In this audio cast number 29, a top model is going to bear it all and teach me how not to be boring. So sit back and...
One, two, three, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to another special Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. And I have with me today as my special guest, her name is Leah Darrow, and she is a top model contestant. And she and I joined forces and actually did a pilgrimage together. You see, Leah Darrow is, as a model, she's all about beauty and fashion, and she's developed quite an audience around the world talking about the other side of beauty, which happens to be the name of one of her books, and she is really talking about the real meaning of beauty. And I think a lot of times people just look at the church and they think, we are boring. So guess what? At the end of this show, in my carryout order, I'm going to teach you how not to be boring. And it begins with making sure we've got some questions. So in this appetizer, I'm just preparing you because, see, Leah Darrow and I, we as tour leaders, did a Theology of Beauty trip in beauty capitals of the world, particularly in Italy, and they just also happen to be faith capitals. And by the way, they also happen to be food capitals in the world. And so we joined forces, basically did a whole pilgrimage together. And at one point we sat at a bar in Verona, the place where beauty and tragedy meets, the story of basically those two characters, Romeo and Juliet. And there we answer questions from pilgrims. And these might be questions that you ask just to help us not to be boring. So sit back, enjoy this deep dish discussion with me and Leah Darrow, and we'll be back in just a moment with more Shoot the Shiitake and more beauty. And this episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, is brought to you by Brand Fox. It's a place where fulfillment, customer service, and e-commerce come together. At Brand Fox, they believe in partnering with you to complete your commerce solution so you can focus on your mission, and they focus on the back end of your production and commerce. Basically, for them, they serve as my fulfillment house where you can purchase all of my books and materials and talks, and they've done an amazing job, and so I'm proud to partner with Brand Fox, and you can learn more at brandfoxllc.com.
Everyone, welcome to a special Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. You can find out all of this at fatherleofeeds.com/listen. And I've got a special treat for all of you listeners today. This is going to be a topic on love. Why? Because I am such an expert at it. Hardly. But I do want to let you know that we've got a group of pilgrims here today, which is why you heard the applause. We are actually in a really cool bar in Verona, in Italy, and we just saw the balcony of Juliet, Romeo and Juliet, that is. But more importantly, I have got some fantastic guests with me, not just pilgrims here on a Theology of Beauty trip, and boom, what you're just gonna hear is just water being brought because it is hotter than a witch's armpit around this city right now. It is pretty, is it warm, ladies and gentlemen? Right, okay. But I've got another special guest, and Her name is Leah Darrow of Do Something Beautiful. Leah, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Father.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be my pleasure. And today what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about love. But we're going to do first, before we hit the questions with all of our pilgrims here, we're just going to do a quick summary of all of the ways we've experienced beauty and all of the ways we've experienced love. So what comes to your mind, Leah, when you kind of think of our trip here on this first ever Theology of Beauty trip? What were some of the things that you experienced that were beautiful and kind of indicated love?
Well, I mean, I love the fact that we can see beauty everywhere. And on a trip like this, and when you're in Italy, it's just so darn easy. I mean, you see beauty in art, you see it in people, you see it in food and fashion. I mean, I see it in my baby that I'm holding right now.
That's right.
There's just, it's everywhere. I mean, it's hard to pinpoint one thing, but I mean, from when we started in Milan and going to Turin and Padua, and now we're in Verona. I think I've missed a few more cities in there too.
Oh, no worries. We'll capture it.
I definitely find a lot of beauty in just the community and in the great wine we've been having.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Here's one way I find beauty: in these ice cubes. Seriously, these ice cubes are so helpful. They make the Aperol Spritzers, which are an amazing drink that we are literally having in this very cool bar, just maybe less than a block away from the balcony of the famous Romeo and Juliet, which, by the way, is an add-on. So what I'd like to do right now is just let you know that our whole purpose for this particular show is to talk about love and all the things related to it, whether it's beauty, whether it's marriage, whether it's dating, whether it's about sexuality. And so remember, normally I usually do all the questions, but this is such a special time to have this shoot the shiitake opportunity with these pilgrims. We're gonna actually put people in the hot seat and they're gonna ask their questions, and Leah and I are gonna try to answer it as best as possible. So if there is the first person who's gonna be joining us, just tell us your name and where you're from and what is your question.
I'm Holly from Raleigh, North Carolina, and my question is, if I'm a Catholic and I want to date and marry a Catholic and have a Leah and Ricky type relationship, but I'm finding many guys who either aren't Catholic or are fallen away Catholics, what would you recommend? I'm dating one right now that's fallen away. How do you pursue that? Like, if I was married, I would just deal with it and make it work, but I'm not married yet, so I have options at this point. What should I do if I want, like, a great relationship that's Catholic and deeply Catholic, but that's not currently what I have right now?
Yeah, that's a real tough one, and I get a question like that all the time, especially from parents. And when you just mentioned, Holly, you want a relationship like Leah and Ricky. And so let me explain what that really means in my summary. Let's put it this way. You've got two beautiful people. They've got two very strong personalities. They came together, and all of a sudden, they have four babies. That's kind of how it all works. Now, tell us, what did she mean by Aaliyah and Ricky? What do you think she means by it? Because she obviously thinks, oh, it's so beautiful, it's so perfect. I think first thing you need to do is dispel the myth that anything is perfect.
Absolutely, of course. However, there is something that I think Ricky and I do have that every fantastic, faithful, you know, couple does have, and it's the right priorities. Ricky's number one is not me. My number one is not Ricky. Our number one is Jesus Christ, and we made sure that that was going to be central in our life and in our faith when we came together, when we began dating. And we also knew that we would not compromise on Christ himself, that we are going to share Christ in our life, in our personal prayer life. We're going to share life, and we're going to share Christ in our marriage and in the same faith. And that was just very important to us. And so I would say really quickly, yeah, nothing's perfect. But what we do have, and I praise God for it, is that we have our priorities straight. Praise be to God. Praise be to God for that. And he gives us his grace to do that when they sometimes fall short, which they often do, and we have to reorder them. However, I will say this. And talking about your question and trying to give an answer, and my son Victory here is adding in his two cents, if you can hear him. But I would say this, ladies, do not compromise. Do not compromise temporary happiness for what you really want long term. Think about, you gotta play the long game. You can't think about just because you want to be with somebody or you're lonely right now or you enjoy the presence of somebody, but if it's not all there, you need to prayerfully and sincerely discern and consider that situation. Sometimes they turn out well, but don't lower your standards because of what if I won't find the guy. You will. God is faithful, and there are faithful, amazing men out there who will absolutely put you in the number two spot, and Christ is number one. And they're waiting on you to do the same. They're waiting on you to keep your standards high, because if you want that amazing man, trust me, he's not looking for some girl that almost has it together. He's waiting for you too. So keep your standards high. Don't keep them impossible. I'm just saying keep them high where they need to be within Christ.
And I would actually add to this too that, first of all, when you talk about the kind of relationship they have, stop comparing yourself to them.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone compares themselves to a particular relationship, and that's where you just simply, you know, muck it all up. Number one, you've got to find out the kind of relationship you believe God wants for you. And I think what you're talking about is something that's going to be joyful, something that's going to be honest, something that's going to be
authentic
and real. And so here's what I recommend. Don't go on dates anymore. Go on pilgrimages together. Does that make sense? So don't go on just dates. Go on a pilgrimage. And what are we doing on this pilgrimage? We're actually going to find God in a bar having Aperol spritzers. We're going to find God in a touristical site like the fake balcony of Romeo and Juliet, where we did like these wedding vows for the couples that were here. So stop with the dating and begin with the pilgrimaging. And then it eventually leads to something called courting. And by the way, the next person who has a question can just jump into the hot seat. Courting is really cool. It's a great word. You invite someone into your court. You bring them a little bit closer to you.
And I think, Father, if I can add in here
sure.
really quickly, because I'm really good at interrupting. I'm sorry.
No.
I would say that all of what Father...
Wait a minute. What did you say?
You're so good.
I'm good at interrupting, too.
I taught you well, Father Leo. What Father's talking about in all of those phases is the fact that it's purposeful, that we date with purpose, that that even the idea of courting has a very big purpose attached to it.
Oh, huge.
And so there is purpose to all the things that we do. We don't want to mindlessly date because we're bored. Those are people's hearts and people's time and yours as well. And so to be purposeful and intentional with our actions with people.
And so, and I wrote in my book on Spicing Up Married Life something about dating. It says, are you dating Mr. or Mrs. Right? Question mark. And the whole purpose of dating isn't to get to know the other person. Do you realize that? The real purpose of dating is to get to know you, to find out who you are and what you bring to the relationship. And if you can think about that, then we're going to be a little more baggage-free when it comes to relationships. Next question.
I'm Julia from Jacksonville, Florida. And my question is, what do you do when you know someone who's not Christian, they have no faith, and she's been married, and she's had several relationships, long-term and short-term after that, and you can just tell that she's striving for, like, goodness in her life, which means she's striving for God, but is it best to, like, just be an example, like, without any words, or is it best to, like, give her CDs and these books and be like, oh, here's this. You know, I don't know what's a good way to, like, evangelize, but without being too pushy, because I feel like that can happen sometimes.
Can I ask you how old this person might possibly be?
She's 33.
Okay, so she's still young-ish. Mm-hmm. And so here's a few thoughts, not knowing that, okay, first of all, full disclosure, our advice is simply a thought in response to how you're asking the question. We don't know about who this person is. If there's any characters that are closely associated to it, please don't think that we know who you are. We don't. But I will say that at 33, which by the way is a perfect age, is awesome.
It's the age I got married.
It's the age that you got married, Leah. Yes. Yeah, she knew. But I think the best thing you can do is to love her. Because what this person really is looking for in these failed relationships and in these quicker relationships, she's looking for love, which is unconditional, and it is not based on gender. It's based on experiencing goodness, truth, kindness, and even to some degree, especially if you're kind of annoyed with like all the bad choices she's making. I don't know if that happens, but I know I get annoyed with people who I care about who make some stupid choices. I can get mad at them. Well, that's where I have to show love through patience, show love through mercy. And then also, here's what I'd recommend that she does. go on a pilgrimage with us on Catholic Mass. Seriously, because I can't tell you how many people have realized that being alone is not a miserable thing as long as we have community. That's kind of key. A lot of people are trying to find community only in one other person. That's a problem. We got to be able to realize we're not alone when we have each other. Maybe we don't have the romantic side to it all, but honestly, how long can you live a romantic life? I mean, Leah, how long is the romance in someone's life?
I'm so happy. I'm stuttering because I'm so happy that you brought this up. That has got to be a myth we must dispel. Romance is beautiful and it's amazing and it's a part of relationships. But when you talk about, like marriage and sticking with it day in and day out, the romance between me and Ricky is not some like, oh, you just brushed my shoulder and oh my, did you see?
It is the PG-13 Leia show.
Yeah, like it's not that. I mean, romance right now for us is Ricky taking out the trash for me. He emptied the dishwasher or he washed our kids so I don't have to. And I look at him with complete sincerity and I have tears in my eyes. Thank you for doing that for me. Like, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me in that way. Like, romance changes and it needs to be considered that what we traditionally think of romance is just the first layer. And just like love, it matures and grows and romance matures and it becomes something so much more than, you know, an embrace or a kiss. It's deeper. It's a choice to love when things are hard. It's a choice to be there and stick it out when you don't know if you can anymore. And when I think about Ricky, even though I'm getting emotional talking about romance and how it's not romantic, but
this show sucks now, I tell you.
I just think about all the things that Ricky does and he sacrifices for me, and I think of how hard he works for our family and for our marriage and how much he loves our kids. And what he does when he gets up early and does things, and he just is so selfless, and he dies to self so many times, and that there's actually no, like, romance of what we think of it naturally, but that is love. And when you can at least, even if you don't experience it yet, when you can at least acknowledge and realize that that's where you're heading and that's where God wants to bring you, you open yourself up to surrender more to God's plan in your life, and it's really beautiful when you can just get to that place. That's all.
That's exactly it. And so for your friend, I just want to encourage her to not look for love only in a dating, intimate, sexually charged relationship. There's more to what she's looking for that can't be fulfilled in one person. She's looking for community. And that's why when you come on a trip like this, even if someone's traveling alone, you don't feel alone. You feel like you're part of something bigger than you. And you feel loved, and that's what matters most. Let's go to the next question.
Hi, I'm Sharon from Las Vegas.
Yep.
Father, what would you recommend to a person that may find themselves single and older, past childbearing years, so that a family isn't in, or maybe a family is in their past, but family isn't something that you're looking for now, mm-hmm. but you don't want to spend the rest of your life alone?
That's right.
So what would you recommend?
Okay, first of all, it's so interesting that people would ask a priest about that. Because guess what? I am going to be an old man and alone. But you know what? I'm going to be happy about it, all right? A lot of people ask, Father Leo, what do you actually know about marriage? And I say, I know enough I didn't want to get married, okay? But I didn't say it in an insulting way. I say it because I know that's my calling. What I think a person who is perhaps widowed or divorced and trying to start a new life again is find out what God is asking of you. And that's really a good place to start, is say, what is God asking of me? Is God asking for me to continue to be productive and fruitful as a mother? Or is God asking me to enter into a relationship where I am truly physically, intimately united to somebody? Or is God asking me to be consecrated to Him, but still not feel alone? So first thing first, talk to God about it. The second thing is, remember, just because like a loved one dies and a person's a widow or widower, or if someone is separated from a relationship, you know, for whatever reason, you're not dead. You're not the one who died, and you are still very much alive. So I say, this is a time for you to tap into who you are. Like, what are all of the things that make you happy? And get out there and do it. You know, this could actually be the blessing that a quote-unquote celibate person has. People actually are a little jealous of my life as a priest because I can just pick up and travel wherever I want to go. And that's just part of the blessing. And guess what? If you find yourself single and you have talked to God about your relationship and maybe God doesn't have a plan or at least a clear word for you right now, get out and live your life like you can't believe. Does that make sense? Because that way you're not going to feel alone. You're not going to feel sorry for yourself, which is a very easy thing for this world to do.
And I would like to add one thing. I would encourage you to go to Mary. And go to Mary in that spot where she was when the tomb was rolled over and Jesus was buried. Her vocation as Mother of God probably felt like it was almost over. Her son is dead. And then God had more plan for her. He had a lot more plan for her to be there with the apostles to help be their spiritual director when they were going crazy. But Mary has obviously a very big role in the church and in our lives. And I would really encourage you to go to her. You know, ask her to be with you.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take just a little bit of a break. And so when we return, we're going to just take a few more of your questions. But I want to just kind of summarize this all right now, especially for all of my listeners. We are just finding ourselves in this coffee shop right off the main drag. Ladies, gentlemen, is this cool or what?
Yes.
Yeah, I tell you, I mean, just, and by the way, how are these Aperol spritzers?
Amazing.
Yeah, they are pretty good. And listen, when we return, we're just going to continue to shoot the shiitake and just have more of your questions all about love, all about sex, all about relationships. And I throw that word sex out there just because it makes people feel awkward that a priest actually uses that word, right? But no need, because why? I understand it and I see it as a gift. And it's not anything that we need to be afraid of. So, right now, we're going to take a break, and when we return, more Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, and Leonero.
Yay!
If you're in the Baltimore area on Monday, October 29th, I invite you to a special celebration to bless the chefs, to honor those in the hospitality industry, to come together in prayer, and more importantly, to grow in our faith around the meaning of food and hospitality and all those involved in it. It is called the Olive Mass, sponsored by my nonprofit group called The Table Foundation, and you can learn more at thetablefoundation.org, where we're going to have Mass at 10 o'clock at the National Shrine of the Basilica of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, followed by a special presentation and obviously great food at the reception with a panel discussion with leading people and professionals in this industry. It's going to be a great experience, and all you've got to do is show up. It is free, and it is open to people of all backgrounds. You can learn more by going to thetablefoundation.org and check out the Olive Mass 2018 in Baltimore, Maryland.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for a very special deep dish discussion here on the road. We're taking a theology of beauty pilgrimage. We wound up in Verona, one of the most charming cities in Italy, no doubt. And I am here with Leonero. She is actually holding her little baby Victory, 7 weeks old. You're a crazy lady.
Well, hey, listen, that's what people say. But I'm here with my baby Victory, and we are in Verona, and it's amazing.
And what do you think people should be doing on the next... I mean, first of all, what are you... What's your experience as a tour leader, again, like with this style of pilgrimage that I'm kind of a weird pilgrim tour leader? What's been your experience, and how would you kind of describe it and invite people to a future trip?
Yeah, you're definitely weird, so I would say that, but in the best way possible. This is it's nothing like you can experience anywhere else.
And you've been on several.
I have. I've been on several before. I've been on one where I've just been a pilgrim myself. I've led a few in the past that have been wonderful and great. This one's just a little different because you have this experience where there's no way you could come to Italy, even if you came for the same amount of time or wherever you take your pilgrims, and do all the things we do. It's just you pray, you get to have this amazing community, you get to drink amazing wine and see these fantastic churches and hang out late at night in the city squares. I can't describe it. You just have to go online.
It is pretty magical.
It's so
good. On this show, we are doing a special where we're kind of just asking the questions from some of the pilgrims, and it's a little different from my normal show format. So for all my regular listeners, I hope that this isn't painful for you, because usually I'm asking all the questions, but this time we are in the hot seat. And Leah and I are getting the questions asked to us. And our next question comes from...
Renee from Texas. So chastity talks are often geared towards high schoolers. Any practical tips for practicing chastity or dating relationships in your 30s and 40s and beyond?
That's an awesome question. Leah, do you want to just start with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, and this goes for any age, so I don't care if you're in high school, if you're in college, or if you're a young adult or whatever, but you better know what love is. What is your definition of love? Have you ever defined it? If you had to literally write it out, love is, and then fill in the blank, put a period at the end of that sentence, and that encompass what that word means. Within truth, what is that? And if you can't answer that, then whatever you're doing, stop dating and figure it out first. Because we need to have a proper definition. We must work from our terms. We must define our terms because everything will flow from that. So really quickly, I use a definition from Thomas Aquinas. I've kind of mashed up some of his, and you should use his and just, you know, take it because he doesn't care, he's dead. But love is desiring the greatest good for the beloved. Love is desiring the greatest good for the beloved. So that's my definition of love that I use. And obviously as Christians, as Catholics, we know that our greatest good is Christ alone. And which, if you just connect the dots once again, then you're talking about our greatest good is Christ alone. And what is Christ forever? Well, that's heaven. So basically, when you love somebody, you want heaven for them. Which means when you love someone, you would not put them in a situation, encourage them, or tempt them to a place where they would separate themselves from love itself, which is God. And the only thing that can separate you from God himself, from love, is sin. So connect the dots, that is love. So number one, have a definition. Work off of that. From there, especially when you get older and you're kind of past the point of maybe you understand the theology of chastity and everything with it, but the practicals of the to-do, I highly encourage you to look at the times when maybe you have fallen in that area. What are your triggers? What happened right before? Identify your triggers, identify your temptations and your weaknesses. Look at those and acknowledge them in humility and honesty and start tackling them with God. Start working on how we can avoid those triggers or look at the weaknesses and maybe see what the root is of those. And that's like one way that I think we should practically start looking at chastity outside of understanding the virtue in itself and realizing, especially as I tell my high school kids, just keep your clothes on, please, for the love of God, just keep your clothes on. But once you're past that point of understanding a little bit of that type of stuff, it's more of really understanding a little bit more of who you are. And when you're an adult, you know yourself a little bit better. And you're going to know your weaknesses better. And just be honest with those.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, yes, please keep the clothes on, all right? Even no matter how hot it is right now.
I'm a real popular
yes,
chastity.
Yes, very, very popular. Now, you know what's interesting about chastity, though? It really doesn't go out of style. No matter what age you are, those topics still run clear. The one thing, though, that happens, I think, when we get a little bit older, is hopefully when we have matured enough, not every small problem becomes a big, huge, dramatic, you know, black and white fall. Like when you're a teenager, we have to, teachers have to teach a little bit more foundational, black and white. We just have to do that because our minds aren't capable of handling all the gray. Now that we're a little bit older, I think what has to happen is start integrating those experiences that give us maybe sadness and challenge us because of perhaps some sinful acts or some selfish acts. They're sometimes one and the same. And without drama, look at those old life lessons of chastity and apply them to your life right now. Fact is, when you're a little bit older, you're working against a few things. One, societal pressure. Two, there is a biological clock, at least in women, as there actually is one in men. But what I really think that we need to be doing is focusing on our internal calling above all else. Because oftentimes, if we think about chastity when you're a teenager, you're thinking about what we're doing with other people. When you're older, I think what we need to do is focusing on how am I experiencing intimacy on my own, if you're alone right now? And how am I gonna share intimacy, ready for this, with the people who might be in the gray area, not your boyfriend, but maybe your work colleagues, maybe your boss, maybe the parishioner that you don't know. Let's try to think about how am I being modest and chaste with those people. So in other words, when you're a teenager, chastity is all about you. When you're older, we need to be looking at it as chastity for others. We're kind of looking outside of ourselves.
And that's like what Father's saying, that's because it's a virtue. And virtue is not just for you alone. Virtue is for you to perfect within yourself good habits so that you can become a more living expression of Jesus Christ in the world.
Yeah, I'd like to know, I mean, how are we doing with these questions? Because we just came from a wine tasting and now we're loading up with these Aperol spritzers. Are we making any sense to you all right now? Okay, good. Woo, next question.
I'm Maddie from South Dakota, and I just had a quick question about what is the best way to respond, especially in this younger generation, and the older one too, to like the feminist movement, the transgender, gay community, as Catholics, like what's the best way to respond to that in a loving but also teaching way?
Wow, that's a huge question, and I think the best thing to do is to try to listen to the podcast that I did. It was podcast number 10 and 11 of Shoot the Shiitake, where I actually interview a transgender before the surgery. And what I discovered, and I've only interviewed one, and every story is different. So one thing we can't do is we can't lump one person. Yeah, I can't generalize in everyone. We just can't. This person who I interviewed, who was a transgender, actually wanted to close the interview by praying the Hail Mary with me. What the faith? I mean, like, how does that stuff happen? You know, I figured they would be angry. Well, she was not a militant person. In fact, goes to church regularly. So there's a whole bunch of things that we've got to consider. The second thing is we know that there are levels of confusion in people. And sometimes it's so ingrained so deeply that if we were try to correct it immediately, it's going to almost literally hurt them. It will be like running 100 miles an hour or in a car driving 100 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden you've got to turn the other way. You will kill
crash
yourself. You
yeah.
will crash and burn. So what you got to do is, first of all, remove these topics of transgenderism, homosexuality, LGBTQ, gay people. I like to use the words that they would want to be called just because I want to respect them. I might disagree with it, but I will approach them and approach them with the language they used to be called. In the same way, if I introduce myself as Father Leo, please don't call me Reverend. Call me Father Leo, right? So that's just a fact. But we need to remove this out of politics. We need to remove this conversation out of the news. We need to remove this conversation away from a 10-minute homily at Mass. Why? These are deep discussions that needed to be treated in a more sacred way and in a more personal way amongst people who have at least come to the realization that we're not here to hurt each other. Once we can establish that we're not here to hurt each other, then we can have conversations about, one, what we think, two, what we believe, and three, what we can come to know is true. And these are kind of like these topics here. So, in topical discussion, so I think for me personally, as a priest, these transgenders and these gay and lesbian couples that I meet, they automatically think that I hate them. And I have to work really hard to let them know I don't. I love them. So you know what I do? We talk about everything else except for what they do with their penis or vagina. I think we focus on that a little too much. Remember, that's only a part of who they are. Unfortunately, the world, the news, and even church and politics, we're focusing only on that and we're forgetting that we're more than that. And only after we develop a relationship where I see them more than what they consider themselves sexually, then they can understand that they have defined themselves with that. And they're forgetting the greatest definition they can have is Christian. Leah?
Yeah, my thing goes back to one, so much of our culture lately has made sexuality equal to identity. And that's wrong. Our identity is not our sexuality. Our identity is that we are redeemed son and daughter of Jesus Christ. And so, That is our first place. That's where we go to meet people. That's where we love them. That's why we love them. And there are some sins that are more public than others. And we sometimes think that, well, the ones that you can see, those are the worst ones. And if we're being honest with ourselves, that's not true. We all know that there are some sins that maybe we all have, or maybe just some of us, or maybe just me, that are a lot worse than what you see out in the world. And so I think there's something to be said there. Two, like Father, or like three, like Father Leo had just said, this is a topic that deserves attention, that deserves an honest conversation, and not a soundbite on the news, not some 5-minute quick homily or a little add-in to a talk. So it needs that, all right? It's not some like quick thing, so it makes us look so it makes the church look like we're addressing the issue because we say the word transgender, because we say the word gay marriage, because we say the word homosexual. That's not it. You have to talk about that topic within a time frame that it deserves and the time and the attention that we give it. And number one, we're talking about people here. I'm not talking about sexuality. I'm talking about people, and we love people, and we respect people, and we want the best for people. We have to start there.
If we can get just to the point where everybody, no matter what their identification is, starts talking about sexuality a little bit more modestly and a little bit more peacefully, I think that's a great start. What we want to do sometimes in the church is convert everyone so that they're all practicing pure chastity, kind of like immediately, and that's going to be kind of impossible. Again, if we're going 1,000 miles an hour, you can't make a U-turn without slowing down a lot and coming even to a complete stop. So I think what we've got to do is maybe tone down the divisive rhetoric. We need to tone down some of the high, lofty theological language and start using more practical, conversational language. Then finding forums, proper forum. You know where the best forum is to talk about sexuality? In marriage preparation, where priests aren't doing a lot of that well anymore. So I think that in marriage preparation and in, you know, young adult catechism, which we need to do more of, that's where we start talking about this more peacefully, less judgmentally, and with a great more respect, but also all of us agreeing that sexuality is something that shouldn't be paraded about in the streets, but something that should be treated with great dignity and respect in someone's privacy. If we can get to that point, we would be a much better place. So we're just kind of shooting the shiitake, talking about all things dealing with love, relationships, sexuality, especially since we're like literally a stone's throws away from Juliet and Romeo's balcony. Next question.
Hi, everybody. So I'm Christiana from Southwest Florida. And my question is, so as a teenager and a young Catholic and just starting to figure out my life and what my vocation will be and putting pieces together of how my life will be, I was just curious, when do you know when you've found the right person? Like, I know people who've dated one person and that was the love of their life. And I've known people who've dated 10 guys and still haven't found the love of their life. How do you know when you've found the right person and that's the person that God wants you to be with?
Wow, that's a great question. And as a guy who dated before I became a priest, I know people are surprised by that. I dated a girl named, I'll just say I dated a Jewish girl.
Are you
going to
tell us her name?
No, I won't tell you her name.
I'm like leaning into the microphone. No, oh I'm my not gonna gosh, tell you it's happening, name. People. He's
there was gonna... there was one girl, the first girl that I kissed was Carol, and she was like 8 feet taller than I was. When she leaned down to kiss me, I think I like kissed her armpit or something.
She leaned down to kiss
she had to. I was short. Leave me alone. Then the second girl that I kissed was like a real kiss. I was a sophomore in high school. My mom caught us. And I thought that she was the one because she was like the first girl that I kissed. We were getting in trouble because she was coming over to the house, and so she wasn't allowed to come over. So we climbed out onto the roof, and it was there that we...
This is so Romeo and Juliet.
No, not Romeo and Juliet. We almost killed ourselves, Leah.
They did.
But, oh, I know. That's true. It is Romeo and Juliet. I'm still alive. Thank you, Jesus. And then the other person who I dated very seriously, she was a good Catholic. She sang beautifully, and... let's just say that it was then that I was discerning my vocation to the priesthood. And I'm telling you all of this only because I think what we need to do is realize that if you are young, I know that it's inappropriate to ask your age, so I won't. I will ask you what grade you're in. How about that?
I'm going to be a junior.
So you're going to be a junior. You are not young anymore. You're getting older. You're certainly old enough to be a mom. I think Leah says it oftentimes, to think of the big picture. That's number one. You have to find out what makes you happy. That's number one. What makes you happy about this person? Also, what drives you absolutely freaking bonkers insane that makes you want to lose your religion with this person? Those questions have to be charted and asked about. They need to be able to answer the same thing about you. And if it's things that are ephemeral, things that are fleeting, I love your eyes, guess what? You're gonna get bags. I love your body parts. They're gonna sag. You know, I always tell people, I tell couples this all the time. You know, there's gonna be a point in your life when yours won't work and hers won't want to. I mean, it's just the reality.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that.
I did, because it's true. And more importantly, it shows that you can show love in other ways that are more meaningful, like massaging someone's foot or like doing the dishes and taking out the garbage. So let's get a chart going and ask those questions. What do you love? What can't you stand? Make sure the other person asks that same question too. And I think the most important thing is when, not if, but when you start praying together, what do you pray to God for this person? Like if I was dating a girl named Sarah, who just happened to be one of my girlfriend's names, like when I pray for Sarah, what am I praying for to God? Because if you're praying to God for this person, it's not like you're gonna lie, you can't confuse yourself, you can't kid yourself. So make sure God's part of that relationship.
Yeah, and I would add too, and this is something that my colleague Jason Everett used to say in his talks, and I really, really love it. He said, you know, high school is a time to find your bridesmaids, not your husband. And I think that some people do find the love of their life in high school. It's completely true. My brother is one of them. However, it's important when we're young, because that's the time when you need to do it, to find out what you like and what you like about yourself. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What do you enjoy about others? What do you think about that? Some of that's going to develop and change as you get older. But it's important that you give yourself time to be you. It's important that you give yourself time to learn how to be a friend and not just learn how to be a girlfriend in high school. And I find that all the time. It's like girls go from relationship to relationship to relationship, especially in their younger years. And they never figure out how to be a good girlfriend, how to be a good friend. And that's hard later on. So when you're coming to that point, one, also realize that you need to develop yourself and not just look for someone else all the time. Think about that. And then those other things will come, especially when you know who you are. You'll have a better idea of what you want. And then, like I said before in my other answers, keep those standards high. Don't lower them just because you're having a rough day.
And I am so glad our last question comes from a guy, just so that you didn't think that I was traveling all around Europe with these young ladies. It's been a great opportunity to travel with a whole mix of people, from young and not so young, but definitely young at heart. But we've got definitely someone who's young and young at heart. Raymond, give us where you're from and tell us your question. Ask us your question.
Hello, Father Leo. Hello, Leah. Hello. I am from Los Angeles, California. And my question is in regards to this topic of cohabitation. I've come across couples who, especially in Los Angeles, like to live are living together. I kind of feel maybe the Lord maybe just wanting me to at least respond or at least try to help them see it through that it's not a good decision to live together, especially before they're married. What do you have to say about that?
Sure. So as a priest, that's a fantastic question. And it's a great last question too, because as a priest, I would have to counsel a lot of couples about that. And when I first met them and I would hear that they were cohabiting, I'd bring this up and I'd say, and by the way, in these classes that we will be doing for marriage preparation, I don't want you to think I'm judging you, but we will talk about your reasons for wanting to cohabit before you get married, and I want to share with you the reasons why the church really encourages you not to. And you may be surprised, which is why then at that point I hand them a portfolio of statistical facts. One is particularly from Rutgers University, where they talk about cohabiting as a number one reason why people get, one of the top reasons why people actually get divorced and separated. So I'm not speaking out of
82%.
Piety. Yep. And I'm not speaking out of piety, and I'm not speaking out of moral righteousness or religious whatever judgment. I'm speaking out of literally facts. So I think what you need to do is, if you've got a good relationship with them, maybe start with a question and say, hey, I just wanted to ask, you know, why did you guys decide to get together? And you'll hear it's not for sex, so that you can just like do this. Oftentimes it's for very practical reasons. One, it's money. And therefore, we have to say, you know, you're going to love each other in good times, bad, and richer and poorer. So this is a good time to practice poverty right now. And then I will say to them, the other reason why they like to cohabit is because they want to test out the relationship. And to that, my former cardinal, he was really wonderful. And he said, you test drive cars, you don't test drive people, especially since what you really are testing is whether or not you're going to love this person. And if you do that, then it's not the kind of love that we need in marriage, because that would be what is called conditional love. You see, what we encourage in marriage is unconditional love. Love that is going to love you even if she looks nasty in the morning and even if he smells nasty the morning, the next morning. I mean, who knows? But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I think what they're trying to do is test each other's love. And that's not a good way to approach marriage.
That's not a good way to test out marriage, because it's not marriage.
It's not real.
It's not an analogy. It's not the proper analogy to marriage. And I think a lot of people go into cohabitation thinking that it is, but it's exactly the opposite. Because in a sense, and I talk about this in my book, The Other Side of Beauty. I have a whole chapter on this. I talk about the research, and I mention what Father Leo is saying. I talk about my own experience, where I did cohabitate with my boyfriend in New York when I was living there. And I talk about the fact that, in a sense, you do say a certain type of vows when you cohabitate. You say that you will be faithful. You say that you'll pay half the rent. You'll share the communal pet until you don't want to anymore. And then you go your separate ways. In marriage, see, that's not a proper analogy to marriage. Marriage, the only analogy to marriage is that there's not one. It's just marriage. The only analogy to marriage, if there is one, is Christ on the cross. And that's what we're told in marriage. That's what you're told when that's exactly what you're doing when you make those vows in front of God, in front of your family and your friends. You are saying that you are saying that you're going to forsake all others for that person in front of you. There's nothing close to that in cohabitation. And I know that that's sometimes the goal or the hope for it, because I know I did it. I know. But the reality is that it does not prepare you for what marriage is. It's not and we are not. And our hearts and our bodies should not be some test run for anybody else. And I think the question you can ask them is, why did you cohabitate instead of getting married? And let them answer that, because I guarantee you ask that question, the girl's going to be very silent and she's going to wait to see what that guy says. And she's going to figure out real quick what's going on in the heart of that man. Why are you not marrying me? Why don't you marry me? I give you everything. I give you my life. I give you my body. I give you half of my paycheck. Why not? Why am I not worth the full commitment? Why won't you go up in front of my family and my friends and commit your whole life to me? You see, I feel the pain of so many women who say that, and they're so scared because they're already in that situation. They're already cohabitating, and then how do you go out? How do you get out of it to continue to have a healthy relationship with that person that you're hoping will still be there? And the beauty of not cohabitating is that you don't have to worry about that. You'll find out very quickly if that guy is going to get on a knee, promise you, and then show up on that day of that wedding and say, yep, this is it. I want you forever. And regardless if we share a house or not, regardless if we're poor or we make money, regardless if you get sick or if I get sick, I'll be there. I'll be there for you no matter what. And that's a commitment we want, because what we're talking about is relationships. And at the bottom of that, we want commitment in our relationships. We want relationships to stay and to be stable. And when you're talking about commitment, cohabitation is not a recipe for commitment.
And what we've got to do is, as we're kind of coming to a close, just want to draw your attention, because it's such a great thing. In cohabiting relationships, you have a guy on one side and you have a woman on the other side, and you kind of come together. And then you separate, and there's space in between you. And over a period of time, you see an organic coming together, slowly and slowly. In a cohabiting relationship, you have a guy and a girl come together once, separate, come together twice, separate, and then they're stuck together. And then there's a whole period of not giving space between you and the other person. So there's a lack of personal maturity. And then I also like to end the conversation with these couples by asking, hey, do you know, who else plays marriage? Children play marriage. And I think you got to be older than that to know that you've got to be more mature, to know that you're not test driving anyone and you're not playing marriage. You're not pretending it. You are preparing your hearts to give yourself to this person, and you're going to lock yourself in a room and you're going to throw away the key. That's what marriage is, what you're preparing for. And cohabiting puts on a false impression. And so this is our last question, but guess what? There is more. We're going to try to do at least another Learning from Leftovers special for all of those who are premium subscribers. I'm going to be doing an interview with Leah Darrow, so you can listen to that particular interview for all of our premium subscribers. Those who donate just $10 or more every month, you get exclusive content plus opportunities just for more cool stuff with the Shoot the Shiitake community. But for now, I'm going to be coming back with my, what I call, my carryout order from this deep dish discussion all the way from Verona in Italy with this Theology of Beauty trip with an amazing co-hostess, Leah Darrow. And when we come back, more with Shoot the Shiitake with me and Leah Darrow, and we will be right back.
A lot of people always wonder, where can I get your book? And basically, you can get that as well as all my other materials at shop.fatherleofeeds.com, where you can pick up Spicing Up Married Life. You can get also Grace Before Meals, recipes and inspiration for family meals and family life, and my Eucharist book about the Mass and adoration. It's called Epic Food Fight, A Bite-Sized History of Salvation, as well as a few of my talks and also my aprons. So you can get all of that at shop.fatherleofeeds.com. And welcome back for a deep dish discussion with me, Father Leo, as we kind of just reflect together about some of the questions that people asked regarding my experiences with Leah Darrow. First of all, it's always a pleasure to work with other Catholic speakers, and then to work with lay Catholic speakers, and then on top of all of that, a female Catholic speaker. And what Leah has done in creating an amazing audience for all of these young Catholic women in particularly is that she's shown that you don't have to be a priest to do the work of ministry. You just have to see yourself as a missionary. And so that's exactly what I wanted to do with Leah, was to invite her to truly be a missionary, someone who is sent, someone who is sending people into the world. And a lot of people ask why I even do these pilgrimages, because to be honest with you, they take a lot of time and energy, but I do them because I want to get people out of their pews, because I think some Catholics are just frankly really boring. So as I mentioned in my appetizer, I want to give you the definition of boring. You ready for this? Take notes. Boring is answering a question that no one is asking. In other words, when your kids think you're boring, it's because you're talking about stuff that they really couldn't care less about. They never even talked about it or asked about it. And in the same way with priests, I think we are sometimes boring because we're talking about stuff that doesn't matter to them. And when I lead them on pilgrimages, that's when the questions come out. And there are many times when I wish I just had a recorder going for the rest of my life, because the conversations in which we engage are just not only fascinating, they're helpful. And I know that as soon as you put a microphone in somebody's mouth, they kind of clam up and they don't really ask the deep questions, which is why I want to extend to you in this carryout order the opportunity to ask your questions. I've mentioned this before and I've got some good questions, but to be honest with you, some of them are just kind of common, you know? And so what I'm going to do is maybe take a Shoot the Shiitake episode and just answer your questions, but please make sure you send them to me at fatherleo@fatherleofeeds.com, or just go to shoottheshiitake.com and click on, you know, ask a question and give me a topic. You see, I think the Catholic Church is a little myopic. We only kind of focus on one thing at a time, and that's not who we are. We can develop, unfortunately, a very parochial mentality. And remember, as the Roman Catholic Church, we are truly universal. We have to go out into this big, amazing world and share the good news with all these people. And that just means just engaging in conversation. Pope Francis is very clear. He does not want a church that is just dictatorial and we just simply dogmatize and just basically tell people what to believe. He encourages us to engage in conversation. And I'll be honest with you, I've met many Catholics who are very obtuse and stubborn, priests and bishops, including nuns and everyone in between, who just kind of want to tell people what to believe. And it's just not right. In order to truly evangelize, you're going to have to allow people the opportunity to ask questions, even if they're very challenging. I'm not sure if you saw, it was a recent post of a pro-life protester who was peacefully praying, try saying that 10 times, a pro-life protester peacefully praying in Toronto, and some guy named Jordan Hunt, he basically attacks her. He does like this roundhouse kick and kicks her. He says that he was trying to kick her phone. And all she was doing was asking him questions because she responded to stupid questions that he asked. He mentioned, well, what about women who are raped? Do you just want them to have a baby? And she just said, is that baby a life? And boy, that ticked him off. And he just literally roundhouse and kicked her. I tweeted about it and you can see it on my social media at Father Leo Feeds, where you can also follow me and engage in conversation. But basically what I'm trying to say is that there's parts of this world that doesn't know how to dialogue, that they don't know how to have conversations. They don't know how to ask questions, nor do they have the ability to listen to the answer. You see, when we do these pilgrimages, and this is just one of many that I do, or at least four every year, it gives people an opportunity to just sit down, talk about the stuff in their life that they think is important, and more importantly, engage in dialogue. I'm not going to convince everybody to become Catholic. And frankly, that's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job and the person who might be asking those questions about faith. And I believe that those who are stubborn, and there are a lot of stubborn people out there, they think they know what the Catholic Church teaches, but they don't know squat. And they basically don't ask the questions. And when they do, they don't listen to the answers, which is why I soften them up with beautiful views on pilgrimages, then amazing food that just kind of warms their bodies. And then, of course, I warm their hearts with a little bit of vino if they are old enough to drink it, of course. And of course, and in the right state of mind, we never go overboard in these pilgrimages. A lot of people might think they're just bougie. That's hardly the case. It's more responsibility that I provide because I want to give people a chance. Ready for this? To just relax, to come together, especially with maybe priests and other speakers like Leah Darrow, and just talk. I mean, again, I'm not here to convince anybody, but I just think that when we create a forum for the Holy Spirit to work, then guess what we do? We create grace-filled moments filled with conversations that don't always lead to conclusions, but good conversations always lead to conversions, which is why I'm going to make this offer to you once again. Please send me your questions and the topics that you want me to cover at shootthishiitake.com or at fatherleofeeds.com/listen. And you could always email directly at fatherleo@fatherleofeeds.com. And that gives you a chance to anonymously ask your questions. I might say your first name or your initial, but I'm not going to like give everybody your email address and your social security. Come on, relax. Don't worry about it. And if you are afraid of asking a question for yourself, then phrase it this way. A friend of mine wants to ask this question. And really, that's what I do on these pilgrimages. And Leah Darrow and I, she figured it out. She had led pilgrimages in the past. And, you know, she'll tell you that she did not necessarily enjoy those opportunities. And I think one of them is because she wasn't really working with experienced people. And I've been doing pilgrimages for over 20 something years. And I know how to not only do them, but to create the proper space and balance for people to not only see themselves as a pilgrim, truly and sincerely praying and growing in their faith, but I almost give them opportunities to see themselves as students, you know, who are engaging in a higher degree of learning and experience. But at the same time, these experiences are so fun. You could hear it in the voices of the people who were there. They had a great time. It was beautiful. They'd not done this. They never would have had the chance to do this because it's not easy to just get out of your comfort zone. It's always good to be with a guide who can help you along the way. And so for them, it was also a vacation. It was also a retreat. It was also a study tour. And it was also just cool. it was just really cool to get together and hang out. And by the way, you could always find out more about these things and see the pictures of these amazing places where we've been to, and hopefully give you a chance to join us where we can shoot the shiitake live around a bar with amazing drinks or around delicious food at a dinner table. And don't be afraid if I put a microphone in front of your face. It'll give you a chance to ask the questions that lead to conversation, and conversation leads to conversion. So between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, I hope you enjoyed this special episode. Special thanks to Leah Darrow and to all of those pilgrims who just sat in this bar with our little Aperol spritzers. How fancy is that? And we just talked. And you know what? It was beautiful. It was just as, if not even more beautiful, as the sights that we saw together, because it gave us a chance to reflect that beauty in how we kind of approach life. You know, like I come think of all these people who built these amazing churches and who, you know, built these factories that made these olive oil and wine production places, and just to see all of this magnificent stuff. You know what all begins with? A question. How do we make olive oil? How do we make wine? How do we build the church? How do we spread the faith? How do we build bridges to each other? Just ask the question, folks. And in an upcoming episode, your question can be asked. And if you do, I'm going to send you a little special gift just for being an active member of our Shoot the Shiitake community. So between now and the next time we engage in great conversation that leads to conversion, I can't thank you, my sponsors, and all of those people who are supporting us in any way. Your donation of $10 each month or more helps us to create this content. I'll be honest with you, this stuff, doing podcasts and all the technology, it is incredibly expensive. And so to support us and the people who are working on missionary scale pay scales, your donation helps in a very important way. So we encourage you to please support us. And of course, you become part of a team. You get some extra stuff, including extra content each week delivered to your mailbox. And that just creates more opportunities for awesome conversions. So between the now and the next time we talk, thank you again, and stay tuned, and more importantly, stay hungry. And we hope you enjoyed this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, sponsored by Brand Fox, where fulfillment, customer service, and e-commerce comes together. They basically partner with people like me, and they provide fulfillment and site design, e-commerce, and all the customer service so that we can get our message out without all of the messy worrying. They take care of the logistics, I take care of the content and the message, and together we help spread the good news. So check out BrandFoxLLC.com. And please encourage family and friends to subscribe to this podcast at their favorite podcast platform. And they can also share this message with family, friends, and parishioners. And of course, by being a premium subscriber at $10 or more each month, you help to create conversations that lead to conversion. Join us at FatherLeoFeeds.com/listen or ShootTheShiitake.com.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at WoodhillCommunityCenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusOfLexington.com.